And Brother Bo, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. Thankful for the Prayerful Church putting this on and hosting it for us all the time. And thank you for these teachers that prepare and ask the Elder Daniel who brings forth his lesson, that he remember what he's put together and what he's prepared for, and help us to take these things and meditate on them and study them and look into them, Lord, that our churches that are here will be strengthened and pastors will be more full of wisdom and guidance for the churches, Lord, and help us to be busy doing what you sent us to do in these last days. Once again, I ask that you be with all those that are sick and afflicted, especially Brother Mike, and should the Lord help watch over them and heal their bodies. And seeing we ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen.
And thank you for the prayers, Brother Bo, because I was thinking I have lots of things that I want to say, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to bring it out. But I have two major points that I do want to bring out. Brother Alex gets to be in the hot seat. You like to be in the hot seat? Not quite yet. I'll drag you out here in a minute, because I'm sure all these preachers just love to be in the hot seat, right? Love it. Well, better be able to handle the pressure, right? So to begin, let's start in, let's go to Titus chapter 2 to start. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Who'd like to read that to begin with? Titus 2, verse 1. Brother Reagan, go right ahead.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
Okay, what should pastors do?
Preach
the word. Stand on the word of God. Colossians chapter 1. Preach the word of God. And it strikes me, and so I'm going to reiterate it. I don't know if I've said it before. I'm sure that I have in many different ways, but I'm going to try to be as direct as I can. Do not neglect the doctrines. Teach and preach the doctrines of the Word of God. And you need to get into the doctrines of the Word of God. You need a list of them, a great list over there in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Tells you what those foundations are. Spend time learning, teaching, and presenting those. Why?
Those are the things that are to become the sound doctrine.
Brother Alex.
Lay the foundation.
Well, those are the things that are going to grow a church.
That's what's going to ground. Eh? That's what's going to ground. And when it comes down to it, what should a pastor be doing? Preaching the word, teaching the word, so that an individual can become grounded. Okay? So on this, just a thing that I was thinking about, and you got to realize this, and I remember Brother Dixon talked a little bit about this years ago, not quite in the same words, but at times, you have to be the one, so go to Colossians chapter 1, you better be grounded. You might be the only one in that church that is standing on the doctrines at the time, which means you better be grounded on the Word of God, because they're going to learn from who? They're going to learn by the example of the pastor. Obviously, it's going to be God that's going to be teaching. But if you are not grounded, what's going to happen to that church?
They won't.
They will not be grounded, Brother Al, Brother Jacob. You look the same. Okay.
That's why I'm just throwing this on there. As a pastor, coming here, being around others where you did challenge for a while, and that's something that you need to think through.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I love it. I very much appreciate this school for that very reason, because maybe this is the wrong way to word it, But sometimes you will be the only one in that church that is standing there contending for the faith. And on this, when you, and it may not be the case, but you might feel that way. And one of the things that I think about, that I know Brother Dixon talked about, is there such a thing as a small church? And this is one of the ones that I think of. What's that?
No, small church mentality.
There is a small church mentality. Yeah. Okay? But I try to think about this, and I really do think about this, because we can get in this mindset, well, we're just a small church, right? What does Hebrews chapter 12 talk about that we are come unto? And into the very presence of who? Into the very presence of God. And I'm sure if there's only two people there in the presence of God, how big is that church?
There I am.
That's a... How can you hit a better church? God is there. God is there. So there is no such thing as a small church. And don't allow it to be a small church mentality. I've seen it. Well, I'll just call this person and call this person. We'll make a consensus and everything will be good. What is that?
Small church.
That is out of the order of God. That is not standing on the doctrine of God. That is not being grounded yourself in the word of God. Brother Cameron.
Just went over that. Grand. We go over goals every year, towards the beginning of the year. And so it starts with goals and physical goals. But also small church mentality is that's, you know, physical goals. Well, we're never going to get a new building. We're never going to do it. Why not? And well, we're never going to start, like, one of our spiritual goals for the long term is to start another work. Well, you can't start another work at 12. Well, why not? And that's the thing is, though, as well, no, we're limited by, who says we're limited? Because God doesn't say that we're limited. So that's another form of the small church mentality of limiting your own self, whether it's physically or spiritually, and you're hindering yourself from growing.
Yeah. Come to me afterwards. I'll give you some examples in Medford where there was, there's no way we can do this. And now the Lord did it. Yeah. The Lord can do it. Brother Mike.
Many years ago, the Springfield Church decided to have a TV commercial. I have growth through the Mormon to live at commercial. We didn't know anything about it, how we grew up. How we do it. Why? What we're thinking about doing is being laughing. We do it because we own the NBC affiliate in Salt Lake City. You don't even have a one. You guys can't even imagine doing it. What are you doing? And about 3 or 4 weeks later, he comes to my office and says, I've been seeing commercials from you guys and a college professional. What are you doing? We got resources you guys can't even imagine.
Yeah. Because there is no such thing as a small church.
And we did it primarily through Comcast, and they have big advertising meetings, and they brought a guy in from Madison Avenue, and he said, it's First Landmark here. And I'm sitting in the back going, oh, man. Okay, I raised my hand. They did the impossible. They granted the Bible. There's no other church can use the Bible because everybody knows it's First Landmark because every single spot they got the Bible in. Mm-hmm. And he said, what advertising agency are you using? I said, thank the Lord. He goes, seriously, who? The Lord. Because we're not a small church. We have a great resource.
Absolutely. So you need to know that. You need to stand on the word of God, which means, brings us to Colossians chapter 1. Hopefully we are all very familiar with this verse. 21 through 23. Who'd like to read that one for us? Brother Jared, go right ahead. Colossians chapter 1, 21 through 23.
In you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death presents you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister.
Okay, so very familiar with verse 23. What should we be?
Grounded and settled
in the word of God, grounded and settled in the doctrine. What should you be providing an avenue, teaching, showing, demonstrating for others to do?
Be grounded, grounded, and settled.
To do the same thing. To show the same thing. Now, much of what I want to try to get to is how to actually do it. Can your words turn people away and drive people away?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't all sometimes like to think about this. How you present the doctrine sometimes matter. Can you present it rude and blunt that drives people away?
Yeah.
Can you present the very same doctrine, and you better know the audience, very same doctrine, wise as serpents, harmless as doves, to allow an individual to let that word be grounded in them?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Questions on that? Like I said, Brother Alex, you're up.
1 Corinthians 13, it said, even if you have all the right words and speak with the tongue of men and angels and you don't have love, it's just going to be noise.
Yep. Yeah. So, like I said, lots of things I'd like to bring out about that, but hopefully that is a little bit, because I do actually want to get into some different things other than this, but I can't grill one and not grill you, Brother Alex. So, Brother Alex, you called to preach.
Yes.
Again, this isn't a gotcha. I'm not trying to get you or anything. Obviously, the last 6 months has been pretty rough. Okay? No doubt about it. For you, your family, extended family, how have you been doing in preparing for the ministry?
I've been, obviously, since I did this before, I answered the call to the ministry, but I've also definitely been doing it since answering the call, but paying more attention to, like, in services and, you know, watching my pastor, watching even other pastors and different things and how they handle things. So trying to prepare that way, trying to obviously studying a lot. There's a lot I don't know or a lot I need to know, or, my weakness would probably be, proving doctrines of the Old Testament, you know, just really like to, I know I do. I rely heavily on the New Testament. So I've been trying to study that, trying to go through the tabernacle, finding the doctrines in the tabernacle and being able to look at that. Trying to get financially ready for whenever that day happens. Just obviously doing a lot of praying.
Yeah. So what have you been studying? Just the tabernacle or?
No. I teach BTC. So in my BTC lesson, we just went over the Bride of Christ, and then we went, now we're going over the inspired word of God, wrapping that up. And we're going to be going on, looking at origin of sin, where sin originated from. And eventually it's going to go into the gap there. There's been a couple men's Bible studies. There's been, some newer converts that he's asking some questions and he wants some answers. I'm like, actually, we're going to be looking at that here. So I've been studying that. Obviously you're studying what you're preaching. I do devotionals. So you're studying them. Studying your homework and stuff in here. But there's a difference between studying for your lessons and preaching and then studying to like really learn and digest everything. And so I'm trying to not just study for a message or something, but study to actually learn it, learn something I'm weak on.
So have you been doing that?
Yes.
Okay. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 obviously talks about not being a novice. What is a novice?
New.
Stand on that. Are you a novice? Maybe this. Are you a novice?
No. I'm new in the Lord. Yes, I'm new to preaching. I'm not a new convert. I'm not new in the Lord. I'm not new to everything.
So, doctrinally, how are you?
Always improve. I feel like, I'm doctrinally sound enough to teach the adult BTC class. I don't know. It's weird thing and how, because somebody could always critique and look. I'm doing as well as I can. You can always improve.
Struggle on trying to figure out. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10. And so for the next 20 minutes or so, it's hard to do. I don't like role playing. I don't know how to do it, but I want you to honestly think about how to answer some of the questions that I'm going to give you. Okay. Don't just try to answer them like you're here, but
yeah.
Ask yourself, place yourself in a position of trying to be a teacher, trying to help an individual. Because I'll tell you, you may not believe it. Most of these I have gotten specifically. Okay. So Joshua chapter 10 and verse 13. So first of all, have somebody read that one. Who'd like to read that one, Brother Jared? So your hand first. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 13.
The sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about the whole day.
Okay. Helps if I was in actually the right. I was over there in Judges and it didn't quite work. Joshua 10:13 talks about a book. And that book is called the book of Jasher. Okay. It's not the only book mentioned in the Bible, but there's the book of Jasher. And there are supposed copies of this book of Jasher. Okay. And I've never read this book. I don't know if anybody else has read this book. I've never read this book. But apparently in this book, it explains how the Nephilim, when they were died in the flood, how they then became wandering spirits, and how they are the ones that are possessing that Jesus cast out throughout his ministry. And so there are things that the Bible doesn't necessarily touch on, but it refers to Jeshua. Jesher? Why can't I use that and learn more? Because right here, the Bible refers to Jasher. And since the Bible doesn't go into details about Nephilim and the spirits, and that book of Jasher gives us more understanding. So isn't it better to use that and learn more about it?
So, yeah, this I've never heard this one either.
Me neither. I hadn't either.
So
welcome to my world.
Obviously, you have 66 books that are all inspired by God, yeah. Old Testament to the New Testament, and that's what we're supposed to use. I've never read the book of Joshua, but that book obviously is not inspired by God. And so they say, yeah, you shouldn't read it, but you have to read we have other books that are inspired. So those are the books we need to read. Those are the ones we need to understand. What was your other question?
So yes, you're right. I 100% agree that the 66 are the only books inspired by God. But now we can learn more, because it's not like it's the book of Billy Bob.
Yeah.
This is a book that God in his word tells us exists. And so why can't we learn history from that and learn from this? And because obviously God has it here. So why not? What is wrong with that?
It's not inspired.
I'm not saying it's inspired, yeah. But why can't we learn? Because the Bible doesn't necessarily bring that up. So this other book really gives it.
Just like, for instance, Baptist history, there's a lot of books out there that are biblically based, but those still aren't the inspired word of God. And so
I understand. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yes, they might even be true, but this is what he wants us to learn is these 66 books.
I agree. We should. But why can't I use that? It's a great help.
We're trying to think what do you want me to say other than
I'm giving it to you a lot lighter than I was giving it.
Yeah.
To.
This what's that verse that talks about I don't know what's in my head, but a lot of things. I think avoid Yeah. Fuel's question. Yeah. Where's that? Is that Hebrews?
17.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bo. Pastor Bo. That's the verse I would read to them or quote to them.
Oh, that, read it. Tell me about it. You're talking to me, so try not to.
No, I know. I'm sure it's trying to remember that verse. But...
You're getting a lot of help.
Hey, I appreciate it. I will take it.
Yeah. You're not going to get the help when you're out there by yourself.
No, I would have just, I would have looked at my phone and looked up the verse.
You can do it.
Oh, I can do that. Okay.
It's 9%. Good.
So in verse, it's 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. That's the word of God. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science policies of Paul, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So, you know, going down that road, it could lead into errors because it's not the inspired word of God. It's not, yes, you might get different facts and everything, but, We have everything that God wants us to learn. We have it in these 66 books, so we need to stay in these 66.
But what I just said is not, how is that an error?
No, it's what I'm saying, though, it's not, it can lead down that road, just like it says.
So then,
keep that which is committed to thy trust. What's committed to thy trust is the word of God. That's what we need to keep
amen.
In our heart.
Good. And then, so then it's okay.
So we're
on the same page.
Yeah.
The Nephilim came through, and that's...
I don't even know where Nephilim is. You got
Giants in Genesis 6.
What's that?
Giants in Genesis 6.
Okay, thank you. I just said, that's the word Nephilim. Layman terms.
That's the word Nephilim.
Okay.
It's only used a couple of times, but that's...
And so, and what's the questions on them? You can understand more what the giants were?
Yeah, so, well, by reading these other books, it gives
giants,
us more details. No. Yeah. And so then those became wandering spirits, and that's who Jesus was battling.
Yeah.
Well, after the flood.
I would go into Satan, our turnover, and Matt, or Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. Satan, he lifted himself up above God. Okay. And you have a bunch of fallen angels that went with him. And so these, you know, when Christ is battling these, you know, these demons and spirits, when he's casting out these swine and all these are fallen angels. They were ones that went against God. Not necessarily giants.
Well, okay. They're Nephilim. They're the offspring.
Are you talking about the mighty man of renown?
Well, Nephilim. And
you still don't know.
that's the word giant over there in Genesis chapter 6. No. Who here is confused? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this, if you don't, you better know this, okay? You better lock down on this, okay? 2 Timothy 3, brother Alex, read 16 and 17 for us.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Okay, what does that say?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. These are they're all inspired, the whole Genesis Revelation.
But what does that say?
And it's profitable for doctrine, which is teachings, for reproof, and correction. So that's what we need to go off of, not other stuff that's added.
And the point is this. We talk about soul rule. Hopefully you know about soul rule. But I just presented an argument that was not in our wheelhouse. What do you need to learn to go back to?
The Bible.
The sole rule of faith and practice. What does sole rule mean?
There's no other truth out.
That's it. I don't care if it was, there is a letter written to the Laodiceans. So it says. I don't know if that book's around. Anybody know if that's around? There you go. Okay. If that letter is around, well, surely Paul wrote it, so therefore it's good for doctrine.
Oh, so and that's what I was trying to say. Stick with the Word of God, because like Baptist history, we have a lot of good Baptist history, but it's still not the Word of God. It's not inspired. It's man's idea, even of history. It might be true, but.
So again, you're trying to, and I understand.
Yeah.
You're right. How are you going to help someone in that? How are you going to teach someone that?
Well, you probably honestly, you're probably not going to teach them that in that moment. You might be able to maybe work into a lesson of maybe going over the Word of God and then inspire Word of God. Well, this is what we need, and so you're going to come across things that you know.
So, the reality of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just trying to make you aware. These are real things, and people come up with some amazing. If you didn't know it, the world that we live in is filled with an amazing amount of crazy doctrines. Okay.
You're the spot.
Yeah, I've talked to a few that actually believe that,
yeah.
And they. I wasn't even going to bring that one up, but they believe it.
Yeah.
You can't tell them otherwise.
No.
So what do you do?
Leave, Mark. What do you do?
The world's flat.
You can show them all the scriptures of it being a sphere, being a circle, you know. It's still.
It means nothing. Round.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's round.
Yeah.
It's not a sphere. It doesn't
and then you
say
see sphere. How he hung the earth. And
there's an answer for it all. There's
four corners of the earth, too.
So that's a square.
Yeah.
And then you get a square and a circle, same thing.
That's why they should not have.
You're right.
That's why they shouldn't legalize marijuana.
You are okay. So you are all right. Correct. What do you do when somebody actually believes it? 2 Timothy, Brother Newton.
Well, I'm not saying rabbit hole, but Satan is Jesus' brother.
Yeah.
Written in a book. And then, you know, there were Adam and Eve came from. Whatever, I mean, not written. So there's books.
There's all kinds of books.
All kinds of books.
So when you understand, point back and teach, going all the way back, get grounded. And what should you be teaching all the time? Sole rule of faith and practice, right? Brother Crabtree, then Sister Tess, Brother Feathers. Yes.
Bible for verse and all the works. You don't need anything else. You don't need the book of Jesus. You don't need it. The books that the Catholic put in their Bible, you don't read Hebrew history or whatever. Stay with the Bible. You'll be there now.
And for your own sake, I'll put it this way, because it came up to me. Do you have to have a dictionary in order to understand the Word of God?
No, that's not the Spirit of God.
No. How then do you define words?
It's not the context.
By how it is used. Am I opposed to use a dictionary? Mm-hmm. No. But I'll tell you on this flat earth thing, it can show you where some of it has been changed. Okay. So you need to learn to use the Word of God. You need to learn to point to the Word of God. And even if you don't have such things that I'm even talking about, you will have YouTube. And you will have books, and you will have many other things out there. And I'm going to tell you, you can watch YouTube and it not be a completely bad thing. You can at least learn, right? But you better understand it.
Word of God.
Don't use it for the Word of God.
Use it for fixing something. Not,
yeah, well.
And not understand the Word of God.
And but you're going to have to teach that. Going back to this. Sole rule of faith and practice, Sister Tessa.
This is a very similar situation, something that a relative brought up. Well, there's other scrolls that people have found, and it goes along with the Bible, so you can't tell me that that wasn't written by God. And a very similar situation. And yes, it is important to know the scripture and be able to present the scripture, but at the same time, you in the flesh, you are not going to convince them. You are not going to be able to tell them otherwise. If they are stuck in their ways, they're going to believe that. But it is your job to know the scripture and to present that.
Going back, being grounded. Okay, going back to being grounded. Because hopefully that you know this. Sole rule of faith and practice. Okay, we got the 66. Is there anything in the Old Testament? Is there anything that God gives us to show us that the Word of God is 66 books? Candlestick. Hopefully everybody knows the candlestick, right? But hopefully you're teaching that beforehand. You're showing that beforehand so that you know what? There is only the 66 books. That's it. I got a bunch of hands. Brother Jake, do you have your hand up? Did I miss?
Yeah.
Apparently I'm not getting very far. Go ahead.
I lost this.
You lost it.
I had a merge and I turned it on.
Okay. Brother Bo.
Well, the 66 is in the tabernacle a different time. Well, on the priests on their shoulder, they wore the six names. The 12 tribes, they wore six by six, six next to each other. And then the table of showbread, there were 66, or two rows of six loaves. But this, whether it's the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, this isn't false religion bringing this up. This is in our work.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we have to be able to show, like Brother Alex said, and we all agree, well, I don't know, hopefully we all agree that, like he said, well, that's not inspired. But some people don't believe that those other books aren't inspired. I've been told that these other books are inspired. How do we know they're not inspired? So that's not a good enough answer to just say, well, they're not inspired. So we have to be able to show that these are inspired. And I don't know anything about
it. I neither.
But, that's not going to satisfy me saying that to somebody doesn't satisfy them.
Well,
showing in the scriptures here, but this is not just an idea that is, floating around on the internet. This is, we got missionary back and grabbing hold of these books, wanting to look for something new under the sun. And obviously the word of God that has been preserved for us, like God said he would preserve it, to make us perfect early furnished, is not good enough for them. They need something else.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a verse, and I have three other hands here, four other hands. Thank you, Brother Dale, you had your hand. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Better understand, that's what's going on. These doctrines, they literally oppose themselves, and they don't always see it. People don't always see it. So what is the only thing that is going to get them out of the rut that they are in? The Word of God. Brother Crabtree's right. Go back to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. You preach that. You teach that. You always go back and reinforce, reteach, reshow. Go over, go over, go over. Sole rule of faith and practice. What is salvation? What is a church? Who is Jesus Christ? These things always point to these, right? Brother Dale Shun, you have your...
Yes.
You had your hand up? Yes, go ahead. Yeah, then we're trying to get to Rachel. Okay. Did you have your hand up or am I missing?
You know what? The Muslims, my understanding is they just use the Quran. That's all they use. And I think they'll fight you, Brother Doug, that is Ishmael, that was offered up on that rock. They don't have other books. Yeah. And I can't, they just use that book. And my point is, they didn't come up with that idea that you'd hang around some Baptists and think, oh, we can come up.
Yeah.
I might be mistaken, literally. But they used, and they know brother, and that's all those
all they
four brothers did was hang around the Word of God. So important. And this old Islam and Muslim, this old Quran, they got that idea from brother taking the stand like you're
watching
us to do. And they do it.
Don't neglect the power that's there.
Yeah.
Because it does have the power to change, right? All right, so I had a bunch of hands. Sister Rachel, go ahead.
Jasher and any other book that's not, these books won't be in complete harmony with them. They'll have contradictions.
Then why not?
Why not what?
Why not? Why won't they be in complete harmony?
They aren't inspired by God.
Because God didn't write them. You're right. Because they weren't inspired. God did not write them. God didn't write them. All right, I get it. Brother Alex. Brother Alex. You had your hand up.
Oh, you're...
There you did. Brother Steve.
But how did he come to that knowledge? He's read books, evidently.
Who?
What's his name?
Brother Shrum?
Shrum. Yeah. He was talking about
this. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not opposed. Okay. So understand, I'm not opposed. And I tell people this, I'm not opposed to you reading books. I'm not opposed to looking at books. Okay. I'm not even opposed to even YouTube, but you better be aware. What are they not?
No, they're not.
They are not the Word of God, which means if you get your doctrine anywhere other than the Bible, what are you? You are not problems. Was that a fool? Yes. The only rule of faith and practice is the Word of God, period, hands down, no other. Okay, you better lock that in. And I know because Brother Henry tells a story about how a guy came up, one of the pastors there, he started playing a video about how you can know God based on astrology. I think I'm joking. Were you there? Well, I it's there. Sole rule of faith and practice.
And I don't have a problem with it, but I heard a thought preached so much about the cat of nine tails, and I was going to go find it in the Bible, and I couldn't find it in the Bible. Yep. If it's not in the Bible.
Yep. Scourge with whip.
And so,
yeah.
Scourge, yeah, with whips. And we talk about the bones, and it makes for good. But you get that from a history book. So anyway,
And I'm going to use that because this is my next point. Preach and teach what you know to be in the scriptures. Are you going to have opinions, ideas that are probably right? But you can't necessarily nail it down and say absolute. I'm going to give you an example. Anybody know who the Babylon is over there in Revelation?
I think it's probably.
So everyone has, I think it's this. And you might be right. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, there's people that believe it's a Catholic church. People that believe it's Jerusalem. And there's evidence maybe for both. There's people that believe who the two witnesses are. Can you lock it down and show it in the Word of God or 100% this is what this says?
No.
Then let people know that you have opinions. It's okay to have opinions. It's okay to even maybe teach and preach on some of those things, but you better distinguish. You better know the difference. You better be able to articulate the difference, because whether or not you believe Babylon is this or that, okay, but you better know what salvation is. But you better know what the doctrines are for the book.
So you just said it's okay to have opinions and let people know your opinion. So don't preach your opinions. If it's in a Bible,
well, here's reality. It's going to come out, right? Your ideas are going to come out, but
well, don't. I'm saying don't.
Okay.
Don't stand in the pulpit and preach your ideas. Mm-hmm. Don't stand up there and preach Babylon is this.
You're right. That's your opinion. Right.
If you want to have a Bible study with somebody or want to talk to somebody and say, now my opinion is this, mm-hmm. but don't preach it.
Yeah. So that's what you're
right. That's not what we get to do.
You're right. I was misunderstanding what you're talking about. You're right. Sister Rob.
Personally, I don't want to be taught the Bible by anybody who doesn't have the Holy Spirit as comforter.
Man.
So... You know,
Amen.
You can read a history book because there's documentation, backup history, but I'm not going to be taught the Bible by somebody who doesn't have a Holy Spirit, in my opinion.
I am 100% agree with you, okay? I'm just going to tell you, here's how it was presented to me. Well, Brother Daniel, you're on YouTube. Why is your opinion on YouTube any better than the other guy's opinion on YouTube, too? I didn't know it was on YouTube, but apparently I'm on YouTube. Famous.
But are you preaching opinion or are you preaching God?
You're right. And that's what you got to go back to, right? And I'm with you, sister. I agree with you. And I hope everybody in this room, and I hope you know, I don't watch YouTube for Bible Okay, I don't read books. I don't. I've never read the Book of Jasher. I've never read any of these other books. The Book of Enoch, I know that one's another big one. I don't do it. Why? Where should your doctrine, where can you get your understanding? Only the Word of God. That's it. That's all that there is, period. There is no more. All right, Brother Jake, thank you.
1 Timothy 6:3 is the one I was looking for earlier. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, termining. So if it doesn't come from the words of Jesus, don't eat it.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
And if somebody's relying on those, it says consent not to them.
Okay. And I still have hands. Brother Nathan, go ahead and come forward. I think Sister Rhonda and then Brother Alex, did you?
Yes. There are missionary Baptist churches with lineage, with past doctrine, with past practice that are being led astray by men who are being taught in these worldly Bible colleges, and they're leading churches in the Southern Baptist Convention into fundamental Baptists.
Amen.
They're even leading them into community churches.
Yes.
Because these men are being educated in the Bible by people who do not listen to their scripture.
Yeah. And
so it's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brother Cooper mentioned this whole spiritualism movement. It's big, right? Brother Alex, you had your hand up as well. Stan,
I was just going to say,
up Brother Nathan's time.
Reading the Gospels, you know, Jesus did many other different things that the world couldn't even contain. And John tells us he did many signs, truly, to Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. And so we only have everything that is written. And the other stuff might have happened, but we don't have any evidence.
Okay.